Hello and welcome to Sky Blue Stories. Welcome back for another exciting week with many great developments in the footballing world, most of which we won't talk about, some of which we may slightly discuss. My name's James Pearce-Enton. I am joined today by the freshly shaven and always suave and mildly
handsome,
olive-skinned Sean Maloney.
What an intro. Well, I needed that boost to my confidence.
Thank you, see, James. Jonathan isn't in, right? So, yes.
He's got nothing ever good to say about me.
Just want daddy's approval.
Or either of us, really. Speaking of Jonathan, he ain't here.
And you know what that means. If you are a long-time listener, as much as you can be for a, four, five-month-old podcast, a long-time listener to Sky Blue Stories, you'll know that shit's about to get real.
Hilarity will ensue.
Inappropriateness will ensue.
What's that saying? When the, you know, something runs the asylum, you know, the lunatics run the asylum.
Yeah. I was thinking when daddy's away, the mice will play.
Yep. That will work as well.
But I just referred to Jonathan as daddy.
Okay, what are you doing in your spare time?
Yeah, no, it's my private life.
Yeah,
so, sorry, daddy.
Wow. All right. And you're sober.
Yes.
Now, Senior C's socials for the week, as I am the social correspondent, aficionado extraordinaire. The things that took my liking, that tickled my fancy, that caught my eye this week were... on this day, 2017, we welcome Palo Retro to the Sky Blue family. What have you, or what have we, made of his impact since joining, James? Can we give him a bit of a report card?
I'm scared of doing this because I gave, I think it was Baum Johan.
ABJ, yeah.
Was it, who were we doing gradings for the last time I was on the pod?
That was two weeks ago. Jesus.
Yeah, right. So we're doing gradings for someone, and then I hadn't been on for a while, and I popped on the sfcu.com forums, and some keyboard warrior, you know who you are. You weren't a keyboard warrior. I'm embellishing the story for everybody else, okay? So don't get up me on the forums. Got up me about how harsh I'd been on, I can't remember which player it was.
Was it Costa? Might have been Costa.
Costa Fortune. It was probably Costa Fortune. So I'm hesitant to give Retray the beginnings of the D minus he initially deserved up to a B plus now.
Okay. In his defense, he's...
Which there wasn't much initially.
His versatility is a blessing and a curse. He came to us and he couldn't quite solidify a starting position. Now, since O'Neill left, he's... been working hard to solidify that central mid pairing position with the one and only Luke Bratton. He's done a decent job, but I don't think he's our long-term prospect in that position. Although now with all our signings all done and dusted for next season, I don't know if there's going to be any opportunity to sign anybody else to pair Bratton. So he may be the one to do it. But in time... for the rest of the season, with an off season leading into the new season, 2021 season, he may just be the one to fill the shoes, the big shoes of Brandon O'Neill. Somebody else who could chime into that position is an Anthony Caceres, although I think he's better utilized on the wing in that final third.
He's our Ninko replacement.
Exactly. I think he's Ninko
3.0. Yeah, because Ninko's reinvented himself so many times.
Yeah. Jesus.
Mizajewski 2.0.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
But without the bangers.
I'm not going to try and say that last name.
No. It was a bad
episode. So, Retre, I'm going to give him a C+, and you what? Gave him a B minus?
I gave him B plus, I think.
B plus.
Mostly because the one time I shit on him on the podcast, he then scored two bangers.
Yeah, against Jets. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Which was all the week after I said some bad things about Costa, and then he won us.
Oh, the Melbourne City.
Yeah, the Melbourne City game where he won us the...
Keep putting shit on them. Keep talking them into form.
Talk them into form. Okay, so Retre. Boys are back in training, Sean.
Yeah, they're back. Back with a vengeance. Look, in this week there's quite half a dozen videos that popped up. Getting the boys back into the groove of it all. Little questions like, what did you get up to kill the boredom? There was lots of Call of Duty, keeping fit.
Going, on there
I liked
a
Zulo said something like, I can't remember if it was the answer to what did you get up to kill boredom or how did you cope with lockdown? But he reminded me a bit of myself and probably a lot of us over the last few months was, so what did you get up to lockdown?
Hey, or, you know, don't go there.
No. It's very PG. Sorry, Jonathan. Very G rated. And he goes, a lot of pointless walks. To have a little giggle at that. I'm like, I think a lot of us are in that boat where you just throw on the joggers or whatever on the Lorna Jane activewear and wander out of the house or...
Sorry?
Whatever. It makes me feel good. Don't judge me.
It's great for your legs though.
Yeah. Gosh, do I look slim.
Yeah, and your glutes.
So, you know, I know Joel King's been learning a bit of Spanish, so hopefully I can get him on and, you know...
por have favor. A bit of,
please. Yep. Did you know what that meant?
Hola.
Hola, yeah.
¿Cómo estás?
Yeah, ¿cómo estás?
Bonito.
Yeah. Old El Paso. Mi nombre es. Other things, what are you looking forward to about finishing the season? Of course, the big word that popped up through all those answers was silverware. They want the silverware. They want two bits of silverware. They're hungry and desperate for. What's the best thing about being back? You know, a lot of them talked about... You know, seeing the boys and chatting and the banter. And then a nice little funny question towards the end was, who did you miss the most? There was a nice little, like, cheeky, facetious love-hate relationship between Retre and Zulo. And but quite a number of them, unsurprisingly, said they missed Ryan Grant the most, that he's such a nice guy. But the boys are back at training, and the wonderful photographer that is Jamie Castaneda was on hand to capture it all. So jump onto the socials on Instagram. Follow Jamie as well. He's our club's, you know, number one photographer. So,
and Jamie, of course, kind enough to come in and take some photos of us when we had Broski.
That beautiful man, that beautiful beard.
We can hold over Danny Townsend.
Yeah. So, yeah, get on top of Jamie. Love you, figuratively, Danny. Not literally. And follow him on the socials. And he does some wonderful photography work. Brilliant for the club. Work. The next thing on the socials, this is a little bit of a request from Jonathan. So I want to make sure that I mention this because I don't want to upset Big Daddy. I do follow Brandon O'Neill on the Instagrams.
Do you follow his wife?
I do as
and
well.
And her cooking account?
I do.
That has more followers than Sky Blue Stories? Yeah. Okay, I'm going to follow our socials. Follow our socials, damn it. Get your friends. No, not even that. Really, we haven't done enough calling out. We're getting people to follow our socials. Get your friends to follow our socials. And if they laugh at you, if they judge you, they shouldn't be your friends. Anyway, Brandon O'Neill's Instagram.
There was a photo or a little Instagram story bit of about 20 pairs of the same pair of boots, Adidas white boots, sprawled across his living room
orange
floor.
Stripes? Orange
I'm
stripes?
Colorblind, so it could have been orange.
Oh, you are, aren't you?
Yeah, same. I keep orange, forgetting that. Red.
Yeah. What color's my head?
Which part of it?
The nose.
The nose. It's too big to see anything else.
Yes, anyway.
An Italian nose of yours. And I just kind of dismissed it. Jonathan told me that they were a ton of new boots, but in the sense that they were being discontinued. So Branners must love this pair of boots to death, and he's afraid of it going being discontinued and not being able to jump on those favorite pair of boots. Because anyone who plays football or has played football, I'm sure,
or goes for walks
has a favorite pair of boots. I know I have a favorite pair of boots as a kid growing up playing football. Blades.
You still fit into them?
No, well, actually, probably, you know. But I had Blades. Now, I don't know if you know the brand Blades, James, but they're probably more geared towards like rugby league and union these days. But I had Blades growing up as a kid. I actually loved them as a boot. My father was the parent company to Blades was Paradise Legends. So Dad did some legal work with them. So I was able to get free Blades boots for nothing. And then that was through my teenage years. And then once that... My teenage years were well past me, thanks to a couple of broken legs from soccer injuries. I was looking for a new pair of boots, and the Blades had too high of an ankle, and I came across the Adidas Predators. And there was this red pair, and it had the laces slightly angled to the right so you can get more of a surface area on the inside of the foot, and then the tongue flipped over with this nice little strap to keep it all nicely in touch. I love those boots
That close of attention to a pair of shoes, and I wear
well.
Shoes.
Obviously, you're not as an elite at football as I am, but they fit like a glove, And when they eventually fell apart after two or three seasons, I was desperate to get them or as close to it again.
The Predators.
But there was this updated version over a couple of years' time. It was a white pair from good old Paul's Warehouse.
Oh.
Everyone knows good old Paul's Warehouse over the one at Parramatta Row there at Homebush.
Check the stock room, paid off for it.
And all I could get were a white pair in the updated version in a size bigger than my foot. And I bought them anyway.
So what did you do? Stuff it with socks?
I did. I wore two socks. Well, like a typical sport ankle. What? Wore a sock. What? And then the boots, there's boot socks over the top of it. So, and the other thing with Brandon's this week, and I had a little sneaky giggle with him, not at him, but there was an AFL player who always tucks in his Guernsey.
Yes, I did see this.
And I think Brandon's appreciated, and there was a lot to relate about.
He's a bit of a dorky 10-year-old kid running around like your soccer coach has come out from England, teaches you respect for the game, and makes you tuck in your
little bit
your
of Harry three size pants, too big. Yeah, but sure. I like that in solidarity with that AFL. I think it was a Gold Coast Suns player. I could be wrong.
Who cares?
And then the next year, it's AFL. Shitty game. Great athleticism, just don't get it. The next bit of socials I want to mention is Ryan McGowan.
He's back.
He's back, but...
And beautiful. And a daddy.
Congratulations to Ryan.
You and Jonathan have something in common. They're both daddies.
Both daddies, big daddies. So I think he came back from Scotland, where his wife is.
Scotland. We have some Scottish friends.
Yeah, thanks, Greggy. Hope you're listening, champion.
We marky.
And so he's held up in lockdown. He's in a hotel there at the cusp of the harbour there at Circular Quay, overlooking quite a good view. Knocking out the Call of Duty at the moment. He's got the running machine, the treadmill in there. And so one of the bits was a little Sydney FC Instagram Q&A, you know, send in your questions via Instagram. I did ask a question. And normally I would go towards the, you know...
Come on, Sky Blue Stories.
Come on, you know, have you heard of this great podcast, Sky Blue Stories? You should go on it, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Or who's the biggest pest in the team? Or... you know, favourite Sky Blue moment, best goal, you know, was your best moment in the Socceroos jersey, laying on the pass across for Cahill's wonderful, you know, volley in the World Cup against the Netherlands. But I went a different route.
You mixed it up. So instead of one of those six questions you've mentioned, you went a different one.
I did. Because I heard that McGowan, that when the boys in the team talk about who's the funny one or who's one of the funniest in the team, They do often mention Ryan, which I didn't expect. And sometimes I mention Bamihan as well. And I'm like, I didn't think Germans had a sense of humour. Yeah, that stereotype.
This is funny. Mm. Now we laugh.
Don't mention them all. Poor faulty towers. So I asked a question and the particular word or website that I chose to put in the question I chose as I was hoping that it would sneak through to the keeper.
To Redmayne?
to Ryan McGowan. And the question was, so he's like, ask me questions about what I'm getting up to in lockdown and how it's all been here for me. So I asked him the question was, have you gotten a RedTube subscription to pass the time in lockdown?
I can't wait for Jonathan to listen to this. Does he know you said that?
No.
Oh, my God.
So it's an exclusive here at Sky Blue Stories. That was a question I asked.
You are listening to it as Jonathan listens to it.
And I'm waiting for it to, for him to... Ryan, that is, to maybe hopefully reply to it. I thought maybe with the choice of website as opposed to something more obvious with the wording within the website name might get through to the keeper, pardon the pun, but...
I would imagine that people that manage social media channels...
Maybe it's him. I think, what's this RedTube? Is it just like YouTube? Kinda. Anyway.
Videos.
Yeah. So anyway.
Yeah, any parents that are listening to this that belong to perhaps any of the three of us, please don't visit that website.
So next bit on the socials, the Andrew Redmayne interview, lovely Q&A with the man in the gloves behind the, in between the sticks. New South Wales IS and AIS product, and it came to light when we played Arsenal over at ANZ.
Oh, yeah, I remember this, Wenger.
That he was a trial with Arsenal back in the day.
The youth academy, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He said he couldn't remember any of the players that he was trialing with and who they were and perhaps
if
came
they've
on
gone
to
be, on, yeah,
gone on to bigger and better things. But he's had a cap for the Socceroos.
Can I just say, yeah. I remember at the end of that game. Mm. So this was So this was
Arsenal. I don't care.
Yeah, this game was
Slowey would know.
As it was just after we signed him, maybe barely 12 months after we signed him, and he was still finding his feet a little bit, right? Was it a full season, or was it as he was starting his first full season as Vukovic's replacement? It was one of those things, right? But I remember it was when we were still on the fence about Andrew Blumane, right? And then after the game, Arsene Wenger came out and said, we really let that one slip through our fingers.
Do you reckon that might have done himself a bit of
confidence?
His chances. Because when he came to us, it wasn't set in stone once Vukovic left that he was going to be the dead set number one replacement for Vukovic. I was a little bit nervous with him starting in goals. At first, he didn't have the greatest footwork with the ball at his feet, when playing out from the back and the like.
Mm-hmm.
But he's proved – not that I was necessarily doubting the bloke necessarily, but he's definitely proved me wrong.
Oh, 100%. 100%.
His heroics in last year's grand final – last season's grand final in penalty shootout. And, of course, that came up in the Q&A about how did you know – Santalab was going to go straight down the middle. Panenka and the goalkeeping coach, whose name's gone
Crawley.
From me, Crawley, said, do you want to go through the video of, Perth Glory players? And he goes like, no, just, let's leave it a chance. Let's not somewhat jinx it and, overthink it. Let's just go with the flow. And he goes, let's check it out. And he goes, all right, just let me see one. Just let me see Santalab's. And lo and behold... And he just couldn't believe his luck that it went straight down the middle, douchebag of a...
So I found the article. Arsene Wenger doesn't remember the two-week period 12 years ago when a teenage Andrew Redmayne trialled with Arsenal. But after watching the Sydney FC reserve goalkeeper's performance against his English Premier League side, he's got one thing clear. And this is a quote. Mm-hmm. If he was with us, we made a mistake. At the end of the day, I would say their goalkeeper was man of the match, Wenger said. This was in July 2017. So I think it was before his first full season.
Mm.
And,
I know Wenger, Arsene didn't have the greatest of luck in his last season or two with Arsenal.
Still got to remember what he did, right?
Yeah, but he still probably goes down as one of the greatest EPL managers, coaches of all time. Yeah.
Him, Mourinho, Ferguson.
Yeah. Klopp will be one of them.
Probably not, but.
Yeah. Anyway. Now, and also thing that Red has mentioned, a couple of his goalkeeping idols. Bozza, not surprisingly, being one of Australia's probably greatest goalkeeper, maybe second to Schwarzer, but because Redders did start or did have an early stint there at Central Coast before moving on to City, something else, and Wanderers. But one of his other idols was Oliver Kahn.
Wow.
Good old Germany Bayern Munich goalkeeper. And as somebody who paid little to no attention to goalkeepers as a kid growing up, I knew Oliver Kahn. He was a celebrity, a
he
superstar.
He has great compilation videos on
he's an angry bastard.
YouTube. I actually legitimately missed that
yeah,
up.
Right. Yeah, right. Him and Peter Schmeichel were probably like the two goalkeepers growing up. I'm like, I knew who they were.
Yeah.
They were as big a stars as the Ronaldos and Zidanes and the like, growing up as a kid. Doing a teaching degree, so there is life after football. I would just love to see Andrew Redmayne as a kindergarten teacher. That would be hilarious.
Do we actually think he'll go into teaching? Like, is it just for the piece of paper to keep himself engaged, to have a fallback plan just in case? Or, realistically, you can't see many people who are involved in the club at the moment not going on to continue their association, right? You've got, Brosk is always going to be involved. Redmayne probably.
Redders will have in theory, will have a longer career. Being right? a goalkeeper, they've got a little bit more longevity
Ryan
than
Grant,
an outfield player.
Always going to be involved, right? Ninkovic, always going to be involved. There are a couple of core people who have done their service who you would imagine would just keep going on
the club, have some kind of role, working role, paid role with the club. So Redders maybe been a goalkeeping coach of some degree. Possibly. Maybe he goes back to the, you know, in his twilight of his career, goes back to some kind of NPL, NSW team, teaches casually, job shares with the class. There's lots of options for teachers with their working makeup with how they go about. It doesn't have to be full-time, 5 days a week, 9 to 5 kind of thing like Teresa Polias does.
Right, insightful.
So there's options.
Well, for those of you in year 12 and wondering what you'll spend your $40,000 arts degree on.
It's probably now $80,000. It's all been doubled.
Yeah, exactly right. There it goes. Yeah. Teaching and Andrew Redmayne and job sharing, right?
Yeah, that's it. The next interview, there's actually one happening at the moment with Samantha McCaskill, who's was a ridiculously good player for the club during her time with the W League team. Gosh, she was talented. But the other one was Bruno Cazzarine. And to be honest, full disclosure, I don't remember too much of Bruno's time at the club. If only Jonathan or Jamie Duncan were here to talk about him. But Bruno, he was quite the journeyman, starting off in Brazil with Palmeiras and then literally the journeyman. He's been to like almost a dozen clubs. Did get 50 appearances for us, 17 goals, which, yeah, reasonable strike rate for a striker for a number nine. He had a terrific partnership with Nicky Carl during their time together. Yep. Nicky being the number 10, him being the 9, so the great, you know, symbiotic relationship between the 9 and the 10. Dave, the interviewer, did have a little bit of a giggle about it, struggling to find Bruno on Instagram. And a little bit of trivia, Brazilians have two surnames. So yes, they'll often go by their mothers and their fathers. So Cazzarini is his mother's, and his father is Constantino.
Well, you know, a perfect example of that is Neymar da Silva Santos Jr.
Ah.
Right?
Yes.
So many names there. You just know him as Neymar.
Yes. That guy that's worth a lot of money.
Yeah.
Wasn't a stranger scoring a goal with his head, quite a tall striker, a genuine target man in and around that 6-yard box.
Nice. Nice. Now, Sean, just because I'm a fan of you dominating the podcast today.
Shoot. Yeah.
You've had a couple of drinks, and I want to see how loose I can get you. I also want to see how drunk I can get you. We got some top fives.
We're going to go to the top fives now.
You want to do the top fives?
Well, I did do two sets of top fives, but I'll leave the other set for another week.
Okay.
The rotation.
Which top five are you doing? And then before any other general business.
I'm going to do top five Sydney FC left backs, as I did allude to that last week.
I'm looking forward to this.
And I chose left backs a little bit selfishly because that's what I tend to play with my own mighty all-age Enfield team. And I tend to play left back or right back, or left back mainly because I got a bit of a left foot, was because starting the team, everyone thinks that they're a striker or a midfielder because what do they want to do? Score goals. So I said to the guys, like, someone is going to have to go in defence. And I took one for the team, so it ended up being me. So I want to go through.
Do we have honourable mentions here?
There is one.
Is this the big black? So for those of you that
am I
going to
do the mojo.com kind of countdown?
I'm looking at a top five list that's just been blacked out on my Microsoft Word on the run
like
sheet, right?
FBI, CIA black.
You know, almost feel like it's a scratchy.
Sniff it. Yeah. See what happens.
Yeah, well, what about the run sheet?
Yep.
sorry, Jonathan. Is this big black bar that I see an honourable mentions list, the Mojo countdown of things
you've... I've got a dishonourable and an honourable.
Oh, you've mixed it up.
Yeah.
Is this first or last? And are we working our way 5-1 or 1-5?
5-2, and then I'll do the dishonourable and honourable, and then I'll reveal the one.
This is why you can't be trusted to be the quiz master anymore.
What do you mean?
Because it's just convoluted.
No, 5-4-3-2, 5-3-2, the mentions, and then reveal the big, because it builds up the suspense to number one.
So when am I allowed to unveil?
You're not. That's my job. I'll unveil it. You keep it blacked. You can unblack it when you get home.
I probably won't look at it after tonight.
Okay, so if you're going to unblack it, James.
After you've mentioned the name.
After I'm going to start at the bottom.
Not the big black long bar.
Oh, that's the
that's the honourable and dishonourable.
No. The big lack Longba, I'm assuming, is the top five Sydney FC left backs of all time. That's like the heading. So you can unblack that.
I've got that. I've got that at a heading. I'm talking about the big lack Longba at the very bottom.
Well, that's great, dishonourable honourables.
Okay, so I'll leave that. I'm starting from the first short black bar.
Yes.
To follow along.
Yes. Okay, we're all on the same page here, listeners and Kevin. And look, it was quite difficult doing this. I did trawl through the memory banks and through the internets. And look, being left backs have probably come into more importance in their team in the last, I don't know, half a dozen or so years when, you know, maybe, you know, the mighty Liverpool are a perfect example of this, when you have your left, right and backs playing as wingers, box to box, playing high.
Do you know who pioneered that? The left backs, right backs, going high.
Say it. Awaiting.
I got no idea. I just wanted to know if you knew.
Dutch or something.
Yeah. Tottenham.
Yeah, right.
No.
Because Ryan, I guess, the first left back that I can remember who had a bit of a notoriety in the soccer realms of fans and the like, probably like somebody like a Philipp Lahm.
Yep.
Germany left back. Otherwise, who gets all the all the fame and fortune and the notice and the popularity are your strikers, wingers, midfielders. But Philipp Lahm was probably the first left back who came to notoriety, came to kind of the forefront and got attention. No. So I don't think he played for Sydney. No. I would love to
know why we were talking about him so much.
So what I'm trying to say is it was a bit hard to try and find genuine out-and-out left backs for the club, and trying to steer away from part-timers like Emerton. He was a bit of a part-time left back at times. Carney was a bit of a part-time. Ali Abbas was a bit of a part-time left back. So I tried to steer away from that as much as humanly possible.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So my number five, and we do hope we're close to getting him onto this pod, somebody dear to my heart and Jonathan's too. Number five is Shannon Cole. And I know Shannon did play a bit in the midfield, but he was no stranger to playing at left back as well. A great journeyman, or great person for the club. Great free kick taker, was more than happy to do a few backflips and cartwheels and the like. Shannon Cole did go on to play for the Scum, but he's mostly remembered for his time in Sky Blue. So Shannon Cole is my number five.
Okay. And so we're not doing the honourable dishonourables yet. We're doing number four. That comes.
God damn it, James. Jonathan. Number four. Probably my personal favourite left back of the club of all time.
Ooh.
Even though he's number four.
Okay.
Very talented girlfriend who plays football too. I do follow them on the socials, on the Instagrams. Alex Gersbach. Played that great game against Chelsea, which really got his attention, and headed off to Norway and the like, and he's really applying his trade over at Norway at the moment. He was the first Sydney FC left back that I really noticed him getting box to box and playing high, playing a winger, crossing it in. He was fantastic for the club.
Solid in defence as well.
Very strong in defence as well. Would always track back.
So Gersbach is currently with Breda, now he's with AGF,
mm-hmm.
Which I won't even try and say because it's Danish and, I mean,
oh,
Dutch.
Danish.
Yeah,
no, Danish.
Danish, yeah.
Danish.
Yeah.
He wasn't in any movie at Danish clubs.
And it's just So the thing I will say on Gersbach, there's a interesting video, like a 5-minute thing on Opta Sport at the moment that – has Gersbach, Mustafi?
Yeah. I mean,
Fuzzy. Yeah, Armini, yeah. And some other bloke who, for the life of me, I can't remember. I feel terrible. But three Australians, all in Denmark, all playing together. Mm. And it speaks about their journey getting there, how Armini was by himself. And then Gersbach came, and now he feels like he's got his little Australian family, but he's out of contract soon. And it's like this beautiful 5-minute video.
Both of them, and probably the third if I knew who he was, James. A bit like you leaving out Broski the other week. Can't remember.
Bloody hell. That was terrible.
Can't live that down.
No, I forgot about it.
But, like, he's persevered in his time there, unlike others. And no offence, you know, I can't talk. I'm living here in Sydney and I play all-age football for Enfield. But, you know, like, you know, you've just come back to the A-League. Like, things aren't doing quite well. I'm on the reserves. I'm on the subs bench, not really getting that time. I'll just come back and get an A-League contract like that, you know. But they're persevering with their time over there. Number three. A favourite son, he impressed in a pre-season trial, I believe it was against Manly United. Scored a very...
Danny Townsend.
No.
Manly Dolphins.
He scored a very famous winning penalty against the Scum down in the shithole. Bjorn.
Ah, yes.
And we didn't know at the time, is he left-footed, is he right-footed? Bjorn was an absolutely fantastic player for the club. He is my number three. He's much loved. Anyone who's been around the club for a prolonged amount of time will remember Bjorn and just how brilliant he was for the club. Number two, yes,
Zach Duncan. It was Mustafa Amini, Alex Gerschbach, and name Zach Duncan. Because they all play at AGF Aarhus.
Mm-hmm.
Aarhus? Aarhus? Aarhus.
Is that like H-A-U-S?
No, A-A-R-H-U-S.
H-U-S.
Aarhus. Aarhus.
Next anyway. One. Come on, James. I'm almost at the honourable dishonourable.
Number two, can I guess?
Yeah, go for it.
Geordie.
He played centre back.
Did he? Yes. I'm pretty sure he was a left sometimes.
No.
You sure about that?
Yes.
But I want Geordie on the list.
No.
Okay. All right. Well, look, I had a guess. Look, thanks for putting me down.
Alvin Checkerley did make right. The Sydney FC, what was it, Team of the Decade? One of the inaugural members, Alvin Checkerley, wasn't a stranger to taking a free kick and putting it on target at the very least. Absolutely brilliant player for the club. Some Socceroo caps in there as well. Alvin Checkerley, number two. Now let's move to my...
He does play centre-back.
Yeah, I told you, mate, please. I know, you're only here for your good looks. Now, I'm going to move to my honourable mention first. I'll save the worst for last, almost. My honourable mention, I want to give a good shout-out to the young
Joel, agreed.
Joel King. Yep. Joel has been absolutely terrific.
Well, do we know what button the applause is?
Oh, I'm going to say it's top left.
So you're going to go red?
Yeah. No. Yeah, it was close. All right, the one below it. Thank you for that, James.
Yeah, Joel King deserves it. Look, only time we've used that button unironically.
Okay.
Joel King gets it.
We genuinely mean it. It's a genuine applause for it.
Yeah, that's why I wanted to play it.
With the old man, Michael Zullo, the pest that is Michael Zullo, who's been out for most of the season, I'm assuming he'll be ready to go now with all this isolation, pandemic, lockdown stuff and all the time he's had off. I'm... been really bloody impressed with how Joel's... Is he as strong as Zullo and he's, you know, the bloke on the other side, opposite end of the park there with Ryan Grant? No. But he's done a job and done it incredibly well each week. He's been very consistent throughout his time. I felt like, you know, even the game against Yokohama, against very trying circumstances, he was one of our better players. I just wanted to say, well done, Joel. That left-back spot, just keep your hand off it. Even though Zullo signed for another
two, three
years, when your time comes and Zullo heads off into, you know,
retirement, the glue retirement, factory.
That's it, the glue factory.
Central Coast Mariners.
That left back spot is all yours, and it's going to be in very safe hands or feet.
Absolutely. And now, a great rotation option as well. Like not a Zullo gets injured, play Joel King. Mm. A let's rest one or the other and either one can fill in. Right? A legitimate competition for the spot that you can rotate the players through as opposed to a out and out understudy.
Yes. And instead of, no offense, chucking in a retro there, which is not his natural position.
Oh, no, like someone who's
born and bred at the moment.
Retro could hold his own at centre mid. Right, or centre defensive mid, but not really. He does a job at left back as opposed to King, who absolutely holds his own and brings his
own.
He
knows what to do. He's got the vision in that role.
Absolutely. So your dishonourable mention.
Dishonourable mention. Mark Warren. Shit. Pretty fucking pretty average for the club. Just disappeared into oblivion. Running around in NPL NSW these days. He was at Marconi, now at Sutherland Sharks or vice versa. But yeah, Mark Warren.
Why?
Very forgotten. All right.
It's got to be obvious.
My number one, and yeah, it is a bit, but there's not a drum roll thing there, is there, Jace? Be careful.
I've never. Hang on. It's
Buongiorno.
No, God. We'll edit that out later. Okay. All right. Just leave. Maybe it is that fitting because he is Italian. Oh, there you go.
It's fate.
Everyone knows probably now if you haven't worked it out. The number one spot, I have to give it to, personally for me, my top five ends with the one and only Michael Zullo. Zullo's been an absolute revelation for the club. His partnership with Ryan Grant up and down
just
their respective touchlines is just ridiculous. Their work rate, strong in defence. They added a second, third, fourth, fifth layer of extra dimension when it comes to our attack. I have noticed, no offense, Joel, I love you, but I have noticed that our attack has been, we've been a little bit off in the last, you know, half a dozen or since kind of the new year, except for the two victory games that we absolutely walloped them with.
Well, Grant's been picking up a lot of the going forward slack. And look, it's probably down to his age, right? Joel King's a lot more comfortable defensively than he is going forward attacking.
Unintentionally a little bit
apprehensive.
Apprehensive, yes. Yeah. Like I'll rely a bit more on my defensive work than what I need to do going forward. But yeah, Mike Azzullo has been absolutely fantastic for a club. You know, he had started off with the Brisbane Roar, then had his stint over at Utrecht, came back a little bit at Adelaide. Onto Melbourne City, but he's had by far and large his largest stint in the A-League with Sydney FC. A couple of goals against his name, 10 appearances for the Socceroos in his time. But Zullo, despite a bit of an injury earlier in this season, doesn't seem to be slowing down too much. So we're very fortunate to have both defensively and in an attacking sense, the one and only Michael Zullo. And he is good for some banter as well, so he's a great bloke to have around the club. Everyone appreciates his presence.
Biggest pest. That's a pretty good list, Sean. I quite enjoyed that. It was a good list.
I'd happily see them in any of my infield teams, please. Then one I might do sometime in the future after you and Jono have your respective goes over the next couple of weeks. And this might change over the next few weeks until I get my turn again, but I'm going to do like a top five social media accounts to follow, Sydney FC social media accounts to follow, current players, not past players like a Bobo or a Adrian or a Brand or O'Neill, like current players at West Sky, W League, A League. So that's going to be mine in a few weeks' time. Who knows, it might change.
Interesting, yeah. Certainly, open to rolling with the times. Now, one core piece of general business, and that is we've got a new broadcast deal and a start date. Let's go through the detail of the deal first and then get, I guess, some of your thoughts on it, Sean. So it's for the rest of the campaign with Fox Sports. And covering the 2021 campaign. Now, the original deal, the existing deal before they've renegotiated to currently, was worth roughly $60 million a year. Now, for a club like us, obviously there's a bit of a hit, but we heard from Danny many months ago that, what was it, 10, 15% of our revenues actually come from broadcast?
Much on broadcast, unlike, say, NRL and the like.
So, I mean, if you were to lose 10% of your salary, big deal. If we lose 10% of our income, big deal, but not 50%, right? Yeah. It's not...
You're not going to notice it as much.
Yeah,
and that's probably smart businessman-ish workmanship on the club and the A-League's part, not relying solely on the broadcast.
So the deal's gone from $60 million a year to $32 million for the remainder of this season and next season. So that's a pretty significant drop. But the thing to note there is that it's actually in line with the renegotiated broadcast deals accepted by the NRL and the AFL. Mm-hmm. So not being terribly disadvantaged by comparison. Fox is certainly saving a lot of money.
Yep.
Which, I mean, say what you want about Foxtel, which we have extensively on the pod.
KO, et cetera.
Yeah, yep. Right. So that's interesting. But interestingly, doesn't include FFA Cup matches, right?
I don't know if there's a chance for that coming on board later on, but I wouldn't be surprised if somebody else picks it up. I know NPL and NSW have started like their own kind of Facebook kind of channel to watch the football through. I don't know if like that. So what was they doing? That Socceroos TV, FA TV, or the FIFA TV, or whatever. I wouldn't be surprised just with what the world is like at the moment, and COVID's probably pushed it down that route. Just seeing more content and be able to view more content and games on the internet. Years ago when I jumped from shitty Vodafone over to Optus, and they said, part of your plan is this Optus Sport. I'm not going to watch phone. I watch football on my phone and the like, up onto my smart TV. I love watching the EPL and all the other, stuff that's through Optus Sport. So don't be surprised if FFA Cup and maybe the future of the A-League ends up on an Optus Sport or something like that.
What NPL was streaming on YouTube at one point, wasn't it, this year?
It was supposed to before it all the fan, all through Facebook. But I know NPL.
You've got so many options.
Yeah.
Even Amazon in the UK have the rights to a game, a couple of games of Premier League a week.
Yeah.
So does someone like Amazon try it out? Does Optus do it and say, well, you know what, by the end of the next season we're going to take the rest off you because screw you killing the game? The one thing you can give Optus is, say what you want about their coverage and how reliable they were at the World Cup or the initial launch, is it's run by people that actually seem to give a crap about the game. The crucial thing that I didn't mention as well is that it stipulates this deal that the 2020-2021 season starts in December of this year and ends in July next year, which is what we're thinking is a gradual, a staggered switch from a summer sport to a winter sport, puts us on course for a collision with NRL and AFL.
And I'm really curious as to how that's going to play out.
Initially
I thought, don't do it. It's going to be the death of the game. Just NRL, AFL, it's just too strong. But I appreciate their and respect their, not their balls, like their gusto. Kind of like, all right, we're going to take it to your AFL and NRL. We're going to,
Who's gusto?
The FFAs, like A-League's having a go at trying to compete with them.
Do you think it was the FFA?
I
think Foxtel forced us.
Why? Do you reckon they overhid an agenda?
It's my conspiracy theory, and I'm generally not one for conspiracy theories, but this is the mistrust I have in Foxtel. So it's I'm completely happy to admit that it's this conspiracy theory is born of a distrust in Foxtel, and that is that they want to kill the game. Or they want to do something that means it will rate lower on average so that the rights are worth less.
So they feel justified saying, we're only going to offer you this next time. Look at the ratings. Look how well you're not doing.
We've forced you to make a fundamental change to the game. So if we lose you, we don't actually lose that many subscribers because people have switched off by the time we've killed it. And if we do actually get you back, we get you back at a discounted rate.
It's almost win-win.
Yeah. And that's my conspiracy theory. I sound like a crazy old person that's, sitting behind their keyboard and, it was an inside job and all that type of shit. But, I don't know. I just don't trust Foxtel.
On the other hand, it might work out
Foxtel.
People are playing the game during that winter season, and then they want to be able to then play their game during the day on their Saturday, Sunday, then be able to tune into an FC or a City or Adelaide or whoever it might be that night and watch them play. So it'll be interesting how that trickles down to the W League being a part of the broadcast deal. So, players can't be playing for their W League team and then playing for their NPL, NSW team as well. That's just not going to happen. So it'll be be interesting to see how that filters down, and I wonder if the states had any say in it. Probably not. And then what that means just for that grassroots pathway football, if it's going to enhance it, is it going to, you know, be a bit of a detriment to it? I don't know, and how that works. It would be more compatible with Asia in their calendar, their sporting calendar, football calendar.
I'd love it to succeed, right? I'd love it if... Can you imagine what a Saturday would be like if you had a family, right? You go and take the kids to soccer, you play Saturday or Sunday, you come home, you watch an A-League game, and switch you over to the Premier League.
You got your own football during the day and then get to watch your team at night.
I just had such a great time at soccer, playing with my friends. I'm, 10, 12, 15, whatever years old. I go home, I'm going to watch Sydney FC, and then I'm going to turn it on to my Premier League team.
Or you get to watch your team on that Saturday night.
Yep.
They get up 3-0, spank victory. And then you get to wake up the next morning, pumped. Get to play pumped, from the night before, seeing your team play, wanting to emulate your Zulos, your Grants, your Brattons and Lafondros and the like, and get to play your game that following Sunday morning.
Yeah, so I'm hoping it's less of a conspiracy and more of a really smartly thought out halo effect, that because you're playing soccer as the most widely played youth sport in the country, that the halo effect of, okay, I'm in a soccer mood now, let's switch it on TV, or let's go to a game, or, let's make a day of it, becomes a thing.
Well, with James Johnson at the helm, he's the Peter Volandis of football at the moment, and vice versa. I'm quietly confident with him at the helm. So he's a smart man, and I'm confident that he'll do what's right for the game. Now, Jimmy, I'm really excited about this interview. We didn't put it up on the socials. It's a little bit impromptu, but exciting nonetheless. And I want to make sure, and God, I hope I'm pronouncing this correctly. So, Sofiane Ferry, who's the Sydney FC videographer and drummer extraordinaire. We've been lucky enough to get him on the line for a chat and a bit of a Q&A. So... he's been brilliant on the socials, been brilliant with his drumming. Thank you so much for all the, indulging me in my requests. Thank you so much. You're too kind. So, guys, sit back, relax, and listen to a wonderful interview with the one and only Sofiane Ferry.
Thank you for joining us, Sofiane. Welcome to Sky Blue Stories.
Well, thank you very much. Thanks for having me, guys.
Now, Sofiane, I'm very excited to have you on. I've been asking to get you on for the last few weeks, so thank you for Jonathan for pulling his finger out and getting you on. Look, kick us off with just tell us a little bit about yourself, where you're from and your background.
Cool. So I'm French. I was born in Paris. I have a Moroccan background for my mom and Vietnamese background for my dad.
Wow.
And actually when I was 6 years old, we moved to Brazil. So I grew up in Brazil. I had a French education. I was in a French school in Brazil. But yeah, after Brazil, we moved out to Nigeria. So I lived another 8 months in Lagos, Nigeria. From there, I went back to France in Bordeaux, south of France, which I studied in a boarding school for 1 year. And then I went back to Paris, lived with my mom. And after that, I came back to Brazil. When I finished university, I just wanted to learn some English. So the plan was originally to go to Canada, but I decided just to go to Brisbane instead.
Very, very similar. from French Canada to Brisbane.
Both known for their snoring.
It's just because a friend of mine was living there, so he actually convinced me to go visit him. So yeah, I fell in love with Australia. So yeah, the plan was just to learn some English, improve my resume, and go back to work in marketing at Renault, the French car maker.
Yep.
So I was working back then. But I just decided to stay. And my hobby, which is photography and videography, became my full-time job. Yeah, that's it.
Well, it doesn't feel like work then when you get to do what you love, doesn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. Right.
So tell us, Sophia. So, what's your role with the club? We've seen you up on the socials, knocking out the jams on the drums. So, what's your role with the club? What do you actually do with them?
So, I work for Sydney FC as a videographer. So, I shoot all the video content. I do all the editing, And I also work with the creative department, the creative director, when he needs to do some photos. I help him doing the photos as well, and then he does all the graphics, but all the videos and all the editing that's on me. And I also work with the social media department and the media department. So yeah, that's pretty much it. I just do the visual content with the creative director.
So you've been quite busy over the last few months with all this COVID lockdown isolation stuff, yeah?
Yeah, we've been trying to create more content to keep posting on social media platforms. But I took advantage of this lockdown to edit as much as I could. And I'm actually happy to go out and shoot more and create more content now.
And Sydney SC, tell me if I'm wrong, isn't your full-time job your only job, but you do have some work and responsibilities outside of the club as well, don't you?
Yeah, so I'm hired by the club, but when I'm not working with them, I also have a parallel project, which I do photography and videography. I've been doing a little bit of everything, from weddings to real estate to music videos to absolutely everything, to be honest. So yeah, as I said before, this was my hobby. It became my full-time job. So honestly, I'm super happy to get paid to do something that I truly enjoy. So yeah.
So what's your Sky Blue story then? How did you come to get involved in the club and start to work for them?
After I went to France in 2018, I came back from holidays and they actually needed a videographer. But I didn't know because, well, it started when I did a job with L'Oréal. Yep. We've done a job in the beginning of 2018. Me and another two videographers and one editor. And actually, the editor liked the shots that I did. And he gave my contact to Chris from, I cannot recall the agency, but apparently Chris gave my contact to Sydney FC. And not even a week after I came back from France, they asked me if I was looking for a full-time job. And I wasn't, but it was actually quite handy. I was like, well, I wouldn't mind, to be honest. And yeah, that was actually a perfect timing, and I was super grateful to be part of the team. So yeah, that's how it happened, yeah.
Yeah, right. Now, recently you've risen to fame through your phenomenal drumming skills, especially some that have been put up on the Sydney FC social page, the Facebook page. Now, can you talk us through your drum setup for all the audiophiles out there? How do you learn the song requests? How did this all come about, and when did you start learning instruments or the drums specifically, right? What's the story there?
All right, so when I was, I think, 11 or 12 years old, I fell in love with a drum kit that I saw. I was walking in a famous street in Brazil with live music, and I saw this amazing drummer with a brand new shiny drum kit, and I just fell in love with the instrument and how dynamic it was and how cool it sounded. So I tried to convince him to get me a drum kit, but obviously it's not easy because it's massive and it's super loud and, well, it's not an easy instrument to carry around. So I ended up doing classes when I was 12 years old or 13, twice a week in a studio. And then I had some friends in school, so we started playing, like, we tried a band, to be honest. It was not really a band because, well, we were not really skilled back then, but that's how we started. And, as soon as I left Brazil. I mean, I had eventually I convinced my dad to buy me a drum kit. But as soon as I left Brazil, I bought myself a electronic drum kit. And I just love playing drums. So it started when during isolation, I just asked my colleagues at the office to challenge me and send me some requests so I can play the drums. And I've got about, 10 or something.
Oh, wow.
And then, the CEO, Danny Townsend, actually really liked it. And he said, well, we should ask the fans to send some requests as well. And then we had more than 50, and I had to choose my favorite one.
Thanks for the request, Danny.
How much noise does it create? Like, did the neighbors,
Well, the electronic drum kit is actually all right because it's just rubber pads.
Yeah.
But the thing is the kick, with the pedal.
Yeah.
Keeps vibrating, and the neighbors downstairs didn't really like it, so that's why I had to stop. Because, I thought it wasn't making too much noise, so I was playing around 8 p.m. something like this, and yes, it was actually bothering the neighbors, so I gave it a little break from playing.
And does that with the laptop to your left? Does that mean you can manipulate the sound on the snare, on the cymbals, and the tom-tom and all that?
So there are many ways to do it. You can either go with MIDI sound, but it's a bit more complicated because you need another machine to get the sounds and download the sounds, and it's more expensive. You need more time to do it, and I just plugged my iPhone to the drum kit so I can hear the music.
Yep.
And I plugged my drum kit to the computer, which I was recording what I was doing. So I ended up with three files. So the first file is just the video. The second file is just the audio coming out of the drum kit.
Yep.
And the third one is the original music.
The actual song itself.
The song itself. So I had to either create something on top of the music, or play along and actually play a bit louder than the original track so I can hear myself playing. But yeah, it's nothing very complicated. I just kept it simple and tried to do all the requests on time. And it just took me a few hours of listening because I actually cannot read music. I just learned from listening the songs and trying to...
Wow.
what the drummer was doing, but I just had to listen three times, four times the same song, and give it a go.
I just want to say a huge thank you, a personal thank you for the requests of mine you've done from Slipknot's Dualities, Sugar, System of Down.
That was actually really fun.
Was it Sugar or the Duality?
Duality was really cool. Slipknot was cool.
You did one arm scissor of at the drive-in.
Yeah, and the drive-in was pretty cool.
When I first saw you do it, I was like, oh, I'm going to send in a request for the Mars Volta because there's no way he'll be able to play a Mars Volta song because it's just ridiculous what the drummer does for the Mars Volta. And then seconds later on the video, you did This Apparatus Must Be Unearthed, and I was just blown away that you could able to do that. So just a little personal request if there's another opportunity of you doing another video. If you could do any Deftones song, I love Deftones to death. Any Deftones song. And I know for a fact, because I've snuck around with your YouTube, I know for a fact that you've done an Incubus song and a Molly.
Yep.
So yes, if you could do any Incubus song, I'll be forever grateful.
No problems at all. Just write it
down. Fingers crossed. Deftones, I'll be sure to request it.
Because I need to make sure the neighbors a little bit more relaxed,
send them my way and I'll sort them out. Don't worry, mate. I'll look after you. I know my strata law.
She's an old lady. Come on.
what's your favorite band? Do you have a favorite band?
Yes. So my old band is by far Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
I've been in love them. My second band is the one you mentioned before, the Mars Volta.
Have you seen the Mars Volta live?
Yeah, twice in Brazil.
Yeah, they're amazing. I've seen them a few times.
My very, very first concert was Slipknot in Brazil. I think it was 2003.
Uh-huh.
I saw System of a Down three times. Uh-huh. Once in Brazil and twice in Australia.
What about At the Drive-In? Have you seen them?
Never.
Or Sparta? Okay. Well, we've got very similar tastes in music then. That's fantastic. What would be your favourite song that you've been requested to play for the Sydney FC socials?
My favourite one had so many, I don't remember. Probably Duality, one you requested.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably Slipknot. That was super fun to play.
You're very welcome. Yeah. Do you have a favorite drummer of all time? Is it a Phil Collins, a Dave Grohl, Stuart Copeland, Lars Ulrich?
Joey Jordison was my favorite because of his double pedal. The drummer from Slipknot.
Yeah,
extremely fast, extremely precise, really, really good guy. So him, Mike Portnoy from Dream Theater as well.
Mm-hmm.
Love that guy.
Not Chad Smith.
Chad Smith is a beast, but it's different. It's more like funky. It's a bit simpler, but I actually like when a drummer is really fast and accurate.
Well, you would have loved Dragon Force then.
Oh, yeah. I tried to play. I give it a crack at Through Fires and Flame, but it's a few levels above my skill. So
I'm
going to have to practice.
Mm. Just but, a couple
Carter before as well from which band he played? Dave Matthews Band.
Matthews Band, yeah.
Yeah, he's a really good drummer as well, even though the music's not my favorite kind of music to listen to, but the drummer is amazing. Yeah, he's super fast.
Now, just a couple more questions and we'll let you go. Seeing as you work for the club with the videography, do you have a footballing background yourself? Do you play or have played and support any teams?
I used to play when I was younger, but I actually fell in love with martial arts, and I actually really love watching UFC and boxing.
Mm. Brazilian jiu-jitsu?
And I actually, not really.
Capoeira.
Yeah, I've done some jiu-jitsu as well, but it's not my favorite. I'm actually more into boxing and kickboxing.
Yeah.
But yeah, in terms of sports, nowadays I'm more into UFC rather than than football. I mean, I love football, but I don't really follow as much as I used to.
Now, with your videography and photography work, do you have a favorite Sydney FC player, one that kind of catches your eye that you enjoy seeing coming across your screen?
To be honest with you, because we film them and we are at training ground most of the week, honestly, all of them are really cool. They're all amazing. I actually love them all. There's not one that I don't like.
Mm.
So, yeah, I would be lying if I told you I had that.
Very diplomatic. That they're all wonderful.
Yeah, I know. It's true. They're very, very... It's very nice to hang in at Macquarie and see the players and see how they all get along, and they're super fun and always positive.
Mm.
It's really cool.
And just one more question. Do you have a favourite Sky Blue moment? Is there a moment whilst you've been involved in the club, might have been a game or just a moment at training or something like that, where you captured it with your camera and you went, yeah, that was a really cool moment?
Yeah. So the semi-final against Melbourne City. It was 6-1, was it?
Yeah, Melbourne Victory, sorry, yeah, yeah.
At Cogra, that was fantastic, but by far the best moment was in Perth, last final, grand final.
Oh, you were there? Like, were you right out on the ground?
I was right there, and that was... that's a moment I will never forget, to be honest. It was unreal. Had so much fun filming, so much fun with the crew afterwards. That was, I think the best experience so far at the club. That was that one.
Awesome. Well, Sofian, thank you so much for joining us. We know we've kept you a little bit extra and you've got a pack up to get to. Thanks for joining us on Sky Blue Stories, mate. And we can't wait to see not only some of the great stuff you put out with the club, but some more of your wicked drumming stuff. Thank you very much again.
No worries, man. Thank you very much for having me.
Au revoir.
Au revoir.
Au revoir. Cheers, mate. Bye. Have a good one, guys.
And that was Sofian Ferry. Thank you again so much for joining us. And on that note, that has been Sky Blue Stories for today, which is tomorrow, the 24th of June. I feel like a little bit like Brian Henderson signing off there. That is National
News.
Thank you for joining us. Please like us on Facebook, Instagram, and the Tweetags. Once again, thank you to the Bella Vista Hotel and the Hills Podcast Studio. Sean?
James, it's been an absolute pleasure working with you. I missed you last week. Yeah, but we do miss Jono, the big dog, the big daddy, the big kahuna.
El Dadalot.
But hopefully we'll have all three of us back again next week, the A-team, and we'll dissect another week worth of Sydney FC football, getting closer to July 17th against the Phoenix. It's tickling and warming my loins, the prospect of, you know.
Oh, sorry, that's my foot.
Oh, James, I missed this. Well, look, you know, we've been seeing the sport, the EPL and the like, and the what's the other thing?
Bundesliga,
you know, that's more or less finished now.
Coming back.
So now to get our own football back, to sink our teeth into, and it looks like we could probably even walk through a gate to a game. I can't wait. It is close.
Yeah, except in Victoria.
Don't hang around with any Melbournians. But we did need to tell our listeners that because we all hate Melbourne.
Yes. And on that note, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.